This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you, David, very much. Welcome to Sports Saturday. Got a nice program for you this morning. Coming up at about 9:15, we're going to catch up with Roger Crotterville, talk about the life of Don DeBrino, as Roger was a freshman at Mount Olive when Don DeBrino was a senior. So that's a pretty cool perspective that Roger Crotterville will bring us at 9:15. And then around 9:30, we'll bring you part of our conversation that we had yesterday with Denny Umberger, of course, former Lincolnwood soccer coach, talking about his good friend Iden Gonnelson and the great life and man that Iden was. It was a great conversation. We'll bring you part one this week and part two next week here on Sports Saturday. Cardinal baseball for you tonight, 5:20. Pregame, AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. First game of the second half looked a lot like every game in the first half for the Cardinals. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the program. But, David, we begin with basketball in Montgomery County. And normally, you know, the middle part of July, pretty quiet times for high school basketball teams. You know, you've had most of your summer work starting to wind down, getting ready for school to start, but has not been the case or that way for Hillsborough and Litchfield this year.
They did.
Hillsborough on Tuesday hired Kyle McBrain to replace Joe Vanzo as boys basketball coach. And David, from a topper perspective, that's as good as Hillsborough could have even dreamt of getting in the scenario that they found themselves in that late in the summer, looking for a basketball coach to take over what is basically a high-level team returning. You get a Hillsborough guy. Kyle's already the baseball coach, so a number of these kids, they know him. They know his style. They know what he's about. So there's not going to be any surprises with Kyle McBrain.
No, that's absolutely right. There's already chemistry there. There's a history between he and the kids. And he's a Hillsborough guy, as you said, so that should bode well in his favor for length of time spending there, hopefully.
And we'll be talking with Kyle McBrain next week on Sports Saturday. He's on vacation this week, David, and we could have interviewed him this morning, but he had an 8 o'clock tee time.
It's unacceptable.
No.
Unacceptable.
What's unacceptable is to interrupt someone's round of golf.
Okay.
That is unacceptable.
Gotcha.
So wasn't about to do that.
Is he teeing off in the Open Championship?
I bet he wishes he was.
Yeah.
I bet he wishes he was. So we'll catch up with Kyle McBrain next week on Sports Saturday. And so as Hillsborough got their basketball situation settled, Litchfield's situation unexpectedly suddenly has become wide open.
Yes.
Lance Bolt is leaving. Before he even coached the game, they hired him in May, and he's out. And he told me yesterday in a text message he just had to do what was best for his family. He said just the morale and culture at Litchfield was no good, is what he said, and he wanted his kids in a better environment. So Lance Bolt is out, and everybody, that's how he feels.
Yeah.
You know, you can't tell someone how to feel. What they feel is what they feel. I personally will say this. I mean, you can talk about morale and culture. That's different. That means different things to different people. We all know Litchfield has had some rough times athletically here the last few years. That's been no secret. But how's the wrestling culture at Litchfield?
Well, yeah.
Pretty good, right?
It is.
Track and field just sent multiple athletes to state. You know, great underclassmen performing at a high level. So how's the track and field culture?
Yeah.
Not bad, right?
Individual sports, though.
Well, all right. How about girls soccer? They were, you know, last time there was a postseason, they were in the sectional.
It's true.
It's just, to me, so many times sports programs get defined by two sports, football and boys basketball.
Yeah.
Right or wrong, that just seems to be how it works.
And I'll say this about Litchfield football, and we're not dwelling on football, but Litchfield fans are passionate about their football, as they should be. I mean, everybody likes football. Unfortunately, historically, Litchfield's just not a strong football program. I mean, you look at the records going back 80 years, they maybe have 10 winning seasons. I mean, they're snake bitten, I guess. There's just not a lot of success there for the football.
But as you said, though, the passion
is
always there,
sure,
from fans and players alike. You know, Litchfield, before their recent issue hasn't had a numbers problem.
Right.
You know, they've gone through some numbers issues the last few years,
well,
but they're coming out of it.
Yeah, that's affecting all schools now, though, with football.
Well, it really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And I think, you know, and I talked to someone from Litchfield yesterday, and their assessment was, we might be better off. You know, at least he realized that this isn't where he wanted to be now.
Right.
Instead of 6 months from now or a year from now.
Right.
Because, like, oh, yeah, he never coached a game. But I do think that Litchfield is better off from him having never coached a game than having coached 1 year and then left.
No, that's true.
You know, I mean, and I don't know who they'll be able to get this late in the game. You know, so short term, their basketball team is in a bind.
Yeah.
Well, long term, they'll probably be okay.
Fortunately, basketball is a winter sport. As of right now, it's a winter sport. So,
as of right now, are you aware of some change that's coming?
I don't know. It was it started in January last year.
Oh, I got you.
So, you've got a football season and soccer season, boys soccer season and cross country to bridge between summer and basketball. So you do have time, is what I'm saying. You ideally want to get a new coach in there right now, but you do have a buffer there.
But you wonder who's available at this time.
I know someone who's available. I'm going to throw it out there because we're media and we can speculate all we want. If I am Litchfield, and I don't know if he wants the job. And again, this is the view of David Jenkins. Not the view of Tally Broadcasting, Tim Mize, or WSMI. The first call Litchfield needs to make is Joe Vanzo.
That's spicy.
It is spicy, but he's available. I don't know if he wants to coach right away. Don't know if he's ready to get back into it right now, if he's interested in Litchfield job. I don't know any of those things. That's why it's purely speculation. But you have an opening right now. You have a guy who... pretty darn good coach, has a really good resume, and just led the Toppers to an undefeated season and conference championship with talent. Granted, they were very good players, but he's been developing those guys over years.
Yeah.
And he's available.
He is available. There's... Yeah.
If I were in Litchfield's shoes, that would be my first call. And he could say no, and there you go. If he says no, okay. You move on to the next candidate. But he'd be on my radar.
Yeah, I can't disagree with your assessment.
I have no insider information. I have been given no indication.
That's just one Litchfield grad's opinion.
I am an alumnus of Litchfield. That would be who I would call. I have no insider information. I'm not privy to anything that's going on behind the scenes. Don't know that they've made contact. Don't know that I'm not saying Joe's interested in the job. I have no sourcing. I have nothing to back up that. I'm just saying that would be my first call.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And it'll be really interesting to see where Litchfield does go. But, I mean, they were clearly stunned by this. How could you not be? I mean, when you hire someone in May, you check it off the list. Like, okay, that position is filled, taken care of, don't need to worry about that. And then 2 months later... all of a sudden, you're taking applications again.
Well, and what doesn't get talked about probably enough around this whole situation, you lost a basketball coach, and that's going to get the big headlines. But, I mean, they hired him as a teacher because he's supposedly one of the best teachers in the state or maybe country. I don't know. He won some sort of award. And his wife got hired, too.
Was it a very prestigious award?
Not prestigious enough, I guess, because I don't know what it's called. But, he's a really good teacher. They hired him. They hired his wife as well. So not only did you lose a coach, you have to replace a teacher, two teachers, I guess.
It's a major reward, David.
Yeah, it is.
Are you catching my reference, Jenkins?
Yeah.
You're not catching my reference. Oh, A Christmas Story. When he gets the leg lamp, it's a major reward.
I haven't seen A Christmas Story.
Oh, David. David.
It was on for 24 hours, like every day when I was growing up.
Exactly. How have you not seen that movie?
I boycotted it for that reason.
Oh,
I don't want to watch it because it's. How good can it be if they're going to run it all day, every Christmas?
That should tell you exactly how good it is that they can put it on all day for Christmas.
I guess. But I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah. I would recommend it.
Okay.
You would enjoy it.
Is that my assignment to watch that by Christmas?
It's your assignment to watch it today. I don't care what else you're doing. Christmas in July, David.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
What is going to happen is we're going to take a break, and on the other side, we're going to catch up with Roger Crotterville. You know, he's such a great just historian in general of the area and just a lot of different things in the world. But he went to high school with Don DeBrino. He was a freshman when Coach DeBrino was a senior. So that I'm very interested to hear about that. And we will talk with Roger Crotterville when Sports Saturday returns.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI. Now we're back to Sports Saturday, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
So when I say Fred Geely, that means nothing to you.
I know nothing. That reference.
Okay, that one you know.
That one I know, yeah.
Okay.
Gonna shoot your eye out is another reference.
All right.
I know.
So you know the references at least. All right.
Some of them.
All right. You're not totally lost then, David.
I'm not completely hopeless.
You're not completely hopeless. Yeah. That's right. There's still a chance.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless. That one I have seen.
Well, I would hope so. Who hasn't seen that?
Of course.
Yes. We're going to catch up with Roger Crotterville in just a moment, and then we'll have a conversation with Denny Umberger for you about 9:30 this morning. It's a two-part conversation, part one this week, part two next week, as Denny talks about his good friend Aiden Gonelson, and it was a wonderful conversation, as you can imagine. A lot of laughs and good stories when you get Denny Umberger talking about Aiden Gonelson, and Terry Tote, of course, is tied in to all of that as well. So a really fun conversation with Denny Umberger, part one coming up, bottom of the hour, part two next week on Sports Saturday. Also next week, we'll have new Hillsboro boys basketball coach Kyle McBrain joining us on Sports Saturday next week here on WSMI. Cardinal baseball for you tonight, 5:20 with the pregame on AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9, as the Cardinals will host the San Francisco Giants in the second game of the second half. And the Redbirds are struggling. And when the Cardinals are struggling, the great Roger Crotterville says, this is how we fix it. Good morning, Roger. How do we fix the Cardinals?
Well, good morning. Well, other than a little bit of an overhaul, I think probably they need just a little bit more hitting. You can take your choice as to whether they want to need more pitching or more hitting or whatever it is, but right now the chemistry is not there for winning, and I don't understand why. I don't blame anybody. I don't know if they need to change something, get rid of somebody, but something definitely needs to be done. I know one thing, when it affects the box office and the people don't start showing up, I know I'll guarantee there will be changes.
No, yeah, when the all of a sudden when Busch Stadium's not full, that gets people's attention real fast.
Well, it's every year. Every year it does that. It's full. Mm-hmm. So to not have it full it would be a problem, and obviously that's where where changes will be evident.
That's right. Talking with Roger Crotterville. Of course, Roger was involved with the Cardinals for a long time. And Roger, little old Mount Olive, and I think back to what, 1953, I guess it would have been, Don DeBrino, who goes on to be drafted in the NFL, drafted in MLB, gets the AAA with the Pirates. He's a senior. You're a freshman. What a great time in history for Mount Olive right there.
Oh, definitely. Well, yeah, all towns had great athletes and numbers of them. And, you know, we could pick any decade we want in the history of any of our towns and find a decade that was great. But the 40s and 50s, particularly the 50s with DeBrito, but there were a lot of good athletes there. I mean, that's baseball. Now, football would not have been mine at that time. It was later, but not then. I mean, freshmen just didn't play. Sophomores didn't play very often. Usually it was just juniors and seniors that had made success. I was good enough or whatever at 14 to be a starter on that team. And that was a unique baseball team with DeBrito. You got to remember that six of those nine starters either played college or pro or both. Hmm. A very unique period of time. And DeBrito, of course, was the main center of all of that.
So, Roger, 14-year-old Roger Crotterville, were you nervous when you went to that first practice and saw DeBrino there, or did you think, yeah, I belong here?
Well, keep in mind, I was from White City, and in that era, you didn't know many people from Mount Olive. And I'll be honest with you, DeBrino, I didn't know who Don DeBrino was. I mean, I had never been to a football game. I mean, I was from a coal mining family. I mean, the only sports we really sort of knew was baseball in White City. It was like inherited. My dad was a pitcher, blah, 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 right down the line. But I didn't know hardly any. I probably knew three guys from Mount Olive. And so it even though it was a mile and a half apart, it just would all been 20 miles apart because you just didn't go to Mount Olive except maybe on a weekend to go to the, you know, the store or whatever. And you just didn't do those things. But there's no doubt Don made his mark earlier than that. And it was a tremendous career. I want to say one thing about Don DeBrino now that I think we miss. Because we can never use the word there'll never be another DeBrino. We just don't do that. We could do that in every town. I could name you great athletes from every town around us. But here's the unique thing about Don DeBrino is that he was a multiple sports star.
Right.
You don't see that today. I mean, parents, particularly fathers, gear their son. He's going to play Major League Baseball. He's going to play for the Illini in football. He's going to play basketball for Duke, or, you know, and so on. Point I'm making is that you don't see those multiple stars. We have very few of them. The last one in Mount Olive might have been Tim Cronville. Tim was football, basketball, baseball, all-state, every 1,500 points in basketball, all-American in base, et cetera, et cetera. The part I'm getting at, that's a while ago. That was 92. That's, you know, 29 years ago when that happened. And you just don't see that today because I don't know why, because the experts, I remember John Smoke mentioning on National Baseball that allow your kids to play multiple sports. Play the season. Play football, learn football, basketball, et cetera. And that's a great attitude because I love basketball. I played basketball, but I was fair and poor. You know what I mean? Mine was football, baseball, but I loved basketball. Yeah. It was a great thing. It was fun.
Well, and Roger,
that's what I want to say about Don.
Yeah, you hear athletes that have made it talk about that playing multiple sports, but it does seem the specialization, you know, the different AAU circuits and youth leagues, it kind of seems to drive kids to be forced to choose one sport at an age a lot younger than they should have to, and that certainly wasn't an issue back when you and Don DeBrino were in high school. And that is really athletically about Don DeBrino. He got drafted in the NFL and made it to AAA in Major League Baseball. That is phenomenal.
Well, you got to remember during that era of time, if you were signed for, I think it was $4,000, you went directly to the majors. How does the name Schofield sound to you? There's a good example right there. But, I mean, you're talking about the father of the one that played with the Angels. But anyway, you would sign for under $4,000, and that's probably what DeBrino signed for, under $4,000, because he had to go up the ladder in teams. And keep in mind, there were a lot of teams those days, too. There was A-ball, B-ball, C-ball, D-ball, AA, AAA. Now you basically have your rookie leagues and, you know, A-ball and AA, AAA, then the majors. But at that time, it was a little bit different. And a lot of guys played pole ball. I mean, there was like in the 20s and 30s, there was like 25 guys in professional baseball from Mount Olive to White City. I mean, it just was unheard of. I could name you a whole league. And every town was the same. I mean, you go to Litchfield, Blissey, Staunton Hills, et cetera, same thing was the same story. They would play a year or two. You know, last week you had Don Borghini on, one of my favorite people. And another favorite person is his dad, Abel, as a catcher. Outstanding athlete. And not only that, Game on Bergy was an outstanding person, not just an athlete. He was an outstanding person. And he played pro ball and played a couple of years. And, of course, a lot of people played a couple of years in pro ball. In fact, the old 3M League, I did an interview with John Michael a couple months ago, We talked about the 3M League. There were a lot of guys in the 3M League who were wearing uniforms from Memphis Chicks and different teams. So the point I'm making is that at that time, that era, same way with me, I was offered a contract with Pittsburgh Pirates when I was a junior in college. And my coach told me, he said, you don't want to do that. You want to get your education and, you know, stick with it. So I turned it down. It was like $2,000-$3,000, which had been a ton of money for me at that time. But I turned it down and stayed in college. And then once I graduated, I went on. You know, I didn't play pole ball or even try to play pole ball. I made it to make a living. So that wasn't unusual for people to have to do that.
Talking with Roger Crotterville here about Don DeBrino. And Don's senior year at Mount Olive, they won the conference championship all 4 years in the South Central. It hadn't been done before, hasn't been done since. Of course, he goes on to play football at Iowa, a big part of the Rose Bowl win. Then we just talked about his professional status. And, Roger, I didn't give you a heads up on this, but I've just been wondering this since Coach DeBrino passed. Is he the greatest athlete Macoupin County has ever had? When you put all of that together, he has to be on the shortest of short lists.
Well, I agree with the shortest of short lists, but I have a difficult time saying this, and I'll tell you why. I didn't see a lot of great athletes, and unless you could see them, you know, in my knowledge, they have a big battle. Who was the greatest football player in my house, Jerome Osmo or Egan Yurkovich? Wait a while, where's DeBrino in there?
Right.
Well, he should be in there.
Yes.
He should be in that group. But the thing is, if people choose to pick these two choices as the greatest this or the greatest that, it's very difficult to do that. Short list, definitely. But I would say more than just a great athlete, he was a great multiple athlete. I mean, the only sport he could master was golf, and that was terrible for him. I mean, he was so hard. I played golf with him, and he would hit the ball off of the tee, and it wouldn't get out of the tee box. And he would just insult the heck out of himself. I won't tell you what he said,
but
he would say it. And then the next ball he would hit, you couldn't see it. I mean, it went out of sight. So he just could never get to the control of that. But every other sport, football, basketball, baseball, and track, that's a different story. Remember, he was a big, tough kid growing up on the east end of Mount Olive. Kelvin Jones, the All-American guard for Iowa, who was killed in a plane crash. I think he was even trying to go to the 57 Rose Bowl. I'm not sure about that, but I think that's where it was. But he told us, and when I say us, he spoke at our athletic banquet at Mount Olive High School, when Don was in high school, and Kelvin Jones said that in practice, Don DeBrino was the hardest guy to bring down because his knees would beat you to death. And he said he pumped those knees, and he said that you just couldn't pull them together quick enough before he beat you up with them. And that gives you an idea of the type of tough kid that he was growing up. He was a gangly kid. You know what I mean? He ended up like 6'2 or whatever he was. As high school, but he passed away looking like he was in good shape compared to us. He was tough on himself with eating.
Yeah.
You know, he would take the skin off the chicken so that he wouldn't gain all that. I mean, he was really a good person that way, you know, in taking care of himself and his body. And keep in mind, he started off in high school with a heart murmur. They weren't even sure he was going to get to play.
Hmm.
Yeah. And they went back and forth, you know, on that. So there, Don was, like I said, he wasn't a real friendly person to outside people, but to the people he knew, the people he was around, and that he was super.
Roger Crotterville, thank you so much for your perspective and thoughts on Don DeBrino. It's always great to catch up with you, and hopefully the Cardinals can get themselves turned around here.
Well, I'm open to. I'm scouting out the Cubs in Chicago now, I guess, and see what they're got. But they've got their own problems.
They got their own set of problems. That's exactly right.
Yeah,
Roger, thank you so much, my friend.
You're very welcome.
All right, that is Roger Crotterville. And, David, it's always great to catch up with Roger. His perspectives are just fantastic every single time.
Yeah, just a minor overhaul is needed.
Just minor overhaul. And when a guy like Roger Crotterville is talking about maybe people need to go,
yeah,
you know that people need to go.
Yeah.
Because that is not Roger Crotterville's default answer to fix
right.
a baseball club's problem.
Yeah, because he's been there.
He's been there. He's done that. Yeah. And he's looking at it and thinking, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. So.
Results aren't there. Change, some kind of change has to be made.
It's bottom line business, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Hey, we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will bring you part one of our conversation with Denny Umberger on the life of Aiden Gonelson when Sports Saturday continues. And we are happy to be joined on Sports Saturday now by our good friend Denny Umberger. And Denny, it has been too long and a real long time. How have you been?
I've been doing well, and thanks for the invite. I miss this so much. You know, we're going to get into a lot of discussion, I hope. But it's always great to hear you guys. It's funny. It's interesting. It brings back memories of whenever we were coming in here and stuff. And for whatever reason, whenever Terry first invited us over. So I'm happy to be back.
And it's great to see you. I wish we were here to talk under different circumstances. But, of course, Aiden Gonelson recently passed away. And, Denny, I'll let you speak here immediately about Aiden and just – talk about the man, because, boy, he was a special human being.
Oh, he was. Went to the funeral the other day, and so many people got up and spoke, and they had so many great stories.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, and I laughed. Every time I thought about getting up, I had nothing rehearsed, nothing going on. We were sitting there, and people kept getting up and more, and there was tears and laughter and everything else, and got to be about 2 hours, and I thought, well, you know, if I get up there, it might be another few minutes, you know. So I didn't, but he led the way for all of us. He really did. There was a lot to say about the man, and same we were talking a little bit prior to with Terry Tote. I mean, them two are in the same category.
Yeah, I mean, there were some great shows with those two involved, and we'll get into that here as our conversation continues. But when you think about Aiden, he really is kind of the godfather of soccer in our area here, you know, immigrating from Turkey in 1963 or 64,
yeah.
I think it was. And when he got here, the landscape of soccer was non-existent.
That's great terminology, because there was no landscaping at all until they got into the Y, and I'll bring that into the landscaping came in. The physical part was a cornfield that the first team or so cleared out and put sod down, and half the players that he recruited back in the day were football players, athletic people that had no idea about it.
That's like a Field of Dreams scenario. Wait a minute. He's taking out the cornfield to put in a soccer field? What is going on here?
Yeah, you know, especially around here. There's probably farmers going, you know, hitting their head like, what are they thinking, you know? And I thought the same thing. You know, 77, I think, in that range was one of the first years, and I'm bad on my dates. But, yeah, he came over here, and under the guidance and of his older brother, Yavuz, who recently passed also. So, my condolences to both them families. They're great. And them two Turks hooked up, and they'll tell you the story, hooked up with the Greeks, which they have a bad history together. The Christofilakis is in Springfield. Between them guys, they did such a wonderful job. But, yeah, I would say Aiden was, you know, he was the man that really propelled it on.
And just talk to me about kind of Aiden, the young man. You know, like for me, I knew Aiden – the old man. What I can only imagine how fiery he was back in the day.
You know, whenever I first met him, of all places, we were in Pena at a little soccer clinic, and I had no idea about it. So I actually took Troy over there and sat and watched it. He was the same guy, but maybe mellow as you get older.
Uh-huh.
But he always had that fire. I mean, I was fortunate to go to Blackburn with him and coach. And you know, you're sitting on the side, you think he's calm, he's got his legs crossed, his hands over, and he's watching this game. But there was a fire inside of that, you know.
And don't all the great coaches seem to have that quality to where it doesn't always come out the same way, but that ability to where it comes across to their kids to where I'm going to play as hard as I can for that guy.
Unbelievable. You know, we have some talented people over at Blackburn. You know, they had opportunities all over the place. And he said he always was in charge of getting the guys from this area and this area. And he just told me, you just bring them hard-working farm boys to me. And that's pretty much what we did, you know. But he'd bring out the best in all of them. I mean, you wanted to run through the wall for him, and not because you're forced to, because you just love the man, and you wanted to give him your best.
And I can still picture him showing those national championship rings off in here. Of course, you know, at UIS, you know, he started the program there, eventually became the first athletic director in the school's history. But those three national titles, he was so proud of those.
He said, he always told me he predicted it. You know,
that sounds familiar.
He knew that was coming on. And maybe he did. I don't know. But I remember watching the games going up there. In fact, I think I was going to Lincoln Land. And we just moseyed over there. And I had no concept of soccer. It was kind of neat watching. I was trying to understand it. You know, but then we decided to go to the Crow's Mill and have a refreshment afterwards. Well, that was about the end of my thoughts, you know. But he's got that. He brought all that. I've got a picture that I will just keep forever. You know, he always had the rings, especially if he went someplace. Mm-hmm. I told him a long time ago, I said, Coach, I said, maybe them rings will fit my fingers. And he told me, he said, hey, buddy, these rings never leave these fingers. Well, one time, Paul McDonough, who's a great friend of mine in Springfield, he's passed away also. We were out someplace, and somehow I got all rings on my fingers. So I had to get a picture of that. And I know I showed Iden that over and over many times. But he should be proud of that. He developed something that was great, especially beating UCLA. And if people could put that in context around here, it's a small football team beating, like, VT.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that concept. And he did it, really. He had great players. You know, he recruited from all different countries. He knew what he wanted. And he brought them together, and he just built them with confidence.
What did he want? When Iden Gonaldson was looking for a soccer player, what was he looking for?
Well, we've talked about that many times. And he looked for specifics. He really did. I probably can't go into detail that he went into, but he would get the person from that country. For example, England. You know, he likes the way England, the fullbacks played, you know, their aggressiveness, this and that. He needed the fast, quick ball-controlling guys up front. He always called them the masterminds, midfielders. And I said, well, those had to be the Americans, right, Coach? We always laugh. But he chose his players, not to identify only English players can play this and that, because they didn't.
But certain countries have certain styles.
Yes, and if he wanted that tough back defense, that's where it is. It's no different than like an NFL team that has a passing game compared to based on defense. And he would pick the best guys from them and brought them together. And he picked an array of guys. And how he had these guys from different countries and the states getting along and stuff is just amazing, because I've met a lot of these guys, and they are by far different attitudes on different things. But bottom line is, great-hearted people, they want to do the best, and they love to play for this guy, and they form the team that he wanted.
And the thing about Iden, he was real. You know, like, there's a lot of fake people. Yeah. Walking around that, you know, say one thing but don't really believe it. He believed what he said, and he lived it that way. And when you do that, it shows. Like, you can't lie, you can't trick kids, right?
There you go. You
can try to trick them and fool them, but they're going to see right through you. And when you heard Iden talk, and then you just looked into his eye, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's there.
It's there.
You know, I mean, you just seen it. I mean, there's so many stories that could be said of that, but that is so true. And I think once you see that, you know what you've got. The first time I had met him, I was trying to figure out time, because as I told you earlier, you get older, you have no concept of time after a while, I think. We lose it somehow. But I was in Pena at this clinic, and I sat back on my end gate, you know, the farm boy, and I'm trying to figure this game out. You got all these kids running around different directions. Balls are hitting trees. They're going, you know, over here, and you got all these older guys walking around. Well, instantly, you knew who was in charge, or I did.
Yeah.
And finally, he comes walking around and through, and he doesn't say hi or anything. He just comes and sits right next to me on my end gate. And, of course, your buddy, he said, how you doing? And I said, I'm doing good, sir. It's the only time I ever called him sir in my life, I think. He goes, what do you think of this game? And I said, don't ask me a question if you don't want to hear my answer. He goes, no, I want to know. So I told him, I said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. Kind of one of the stupidest things I've seen. I'm a basketball, football, you know, baseball.
How old were you?
I'm on a, oh, geez, 30-some years ago. So I was in my third, probably about around 30s,
okay,
something like that. And I've kind of watched soccer a couple times. And I could tell the more I was talking, the more, you know, that smile kind of left his face. And I just said, I don't understand the concept. I don't, you know. I said, I didn't mean to offend you, did I? And he had that scowl on his face, and all of a sudden it turned into a smile. He hit me in the chest. He said, you know what? I love you, and you're going to love this game.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the second night, you knew where he's coming from. He treated everybody with respect, and you just knew this was a guy.
But you know what, Denny? I think in that moment right there, I think Aiden probably looked into your eye and said, you know what? This dude's real.
Yeah. Well,
he's shooting me straight. You know, I asked him, and he told me.
Yeah.
And you respect that. And I guess the rest is history from that point for you two, huh?
Yeah, from day one we met, the second day he made a point of coming over. And by the end of the week, he asked me a question. He said, you just keep an open mind and see if you can see this game. I'm like, sure. And I never called him anything, but he told me, he said, in the beginning you can just call me Coach, but you'll be calling me Aiden. I mean, it's just that, and he wasn't being mean. He wasn't being smart. It was just funny. And true to form, by Friday night came around, I was like, wow. You know, you don't have to be the fastest, tallest. You don't have to have all the qualities. You know, every sports got its saying. Hitting a baseball is the best eye coordination. Football, you know, has got, and basketball, all these. But I seen these kids laughing, running around, enjoying it. By the end of the week, these kids who were young, say anywhere from 10 to 16 maybe in that range, you could see already on the field, they were doing their best. Probably, hopefully, because the parents installed it and everything else. But Aiden was encouraging this. Mm-hmm. At the end of the week, I told him, I had to admit, I said, you know, I got to eat my words. We say eat crow, Coach. I think I might like this game.
It happened that fast for you.
It did. It did. I think it's really, had it been another guy running the camp, and because I've been involved in a lot of camps. We actually used to run camps and been all over. Both my sons, Nick and Ryan, have been in different ones. And there's great coaches, but there's some guys that make sure they keep their distance from you. And Aiden's never been one of them guys. Just never has.
Talking with Denny Umberger here on Sports Saturday. We're going to take a quick break. Back with more in a moment. And by a moment, I mean right now. That was part one of our conversation with Denny. We'll bring part two to you next week on Sports Saturday. And, oh, David, were you at the station those years when Aiden was coming in here and it was him and Umby and Terry?
They might have come once.
Oh,
when
those
I was here.
Those were.
I remember Terry talking about him all the time.
Those were just such fun times. And when you look back at that now, it really, you think, wow, what a special moment in time that was. And I think Terry and Aiden, they recognized that in the moment, that this is special.
Right.
And boy, was it. Boy, was it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember Terry talking about him all the time. I think they came in once since I've been here.
Okay, yeah, they were in multiple times, and it was a great time every single time. So part two of our conversation with Denny Umberger about Aidan Gonelson coming up next week on Sports Saturday. David, the Fighting Illini basketball program got some much-needed good news with the announcement that Kofi Coburn is coming back for his junior season. He had put his name in the NBA draft, mm-hmm. pulled that out, and then put his name right into the transfer portal, and boy, all signs were really pointing hard that he was going to wind up at Kentucky with the assistant coach who had recruited him to Illinois, then being at Kentucky. It just, everything seemed to be trending that direction, but he's staying.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting offseason for the Illini basketball program because Underwood lost his two top assistants in Shin Coleman and Orlando Antigua, both to Kentucky. You lost Io to the draft. You thought you were losing Kofi to the draft. Then Kofi pulls out of the draft but enters his name in the transfer portal to keep his options open. So you're wondering, gosh, coming off of a second-round exit as a top seed in the NCAA tournament, is this the beginning of the end?
That Adam Miller transferred.
And Adam Miller transferred, yeah, or entered his name in the transfer portal. Did he officially transfer?
Yeah, he's at LSU.
That's right.
But when you look at that now, though, that's not that big of a deal because at the time I was like, what is going on? But he obviously knew that DeMonte Williams and Trent Frazier were coming back. With those two back and the ball in Curbelo's hands, he wasn't going to get the touches that he wants to get his draft stock where he wants it to be.
Well, and I don't – that might have had a lot to do with it, but it seems now the transfer portal is just the way to go about things now. A lot more and more kids, now that you don't have to sit out a year, more and more kids are entering their names into the transfer portal. It's going to change the way college basketball is done completely because now, whereas you were guaranteed, unless you were a one-and-done player, you were guaranteed, you know, a few years of a guy at one school. Now, that's not even the case.
Well, the name, image, and likeness is going to change college sports.
Well, that bodes well for Illinois, too, because they're one of the states where you can profit.
Oh, I mean, Kofi Coburn, he's going to be extremely marketable.
Oh, absolutely.
In the state of Illinois.
Absolutely.
I mean, you think about Chicago, that market right there. I mean, who knows where it can go? Curbelo the same way.
You could get the St. Louis market, too. It's not huge, but
no, that's
the
exactly
St. Louis
right.
market. Yeah.
Exactly right. So it's going to be really interesting to see how all that plays out. But on the floor now, I mean, Kofi Coburn is probably the best big man in the country just from a pure center perspective. But the feedback he got from the NBA was you need to expand your game, get, you know, be able to knock down that probably that 15-foot jump shot, you know, maybe expand it out to a 20-footer. I don't know if he could ever get to an NBA three-pointer. Who knows? Maybe he can. Some guys in college, you think, boy, they're never going to be a perimeter player in the NBA, and they wind up being just that. So with Curbelo and Coburn, that, to me, if you're thinking about Kofi wanting to expand his game, I see a lot of pick and roll with those two. And then you got the shooters on the wings with Frazier. Williams has shown the ability to knock down an open three-point shot. They could become very, very dangerous. And they got a nice recruiting class coming in, too.
And they've got a couple transfers coming in. They have at least one in Plummer. They had another one, a Florida big man coming in. I assume he's still coming in, but I don't know if this Kofi news changes his what's going to happen because he maybe thought he was going to be the starter because Kofi was leaving, but maybe – I don't know. I haven't heard that he's not coming back, but he announced he was transferring to Illinois, but that was before Kofi was coming back. They have got options. They're very deep now. Losing Io and Adam Miller hurts, but they're not going to be as good as they were last year, but they're still going to be a very good basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, they're not. They were great last year, you know, despite what happened in the NCAA tournament. They were a great team last year, but Io, he was the driving force of that, and not just the production, which was high end. Yeah. His leadership and his mentality. You know, that was the whole key to that Illini outfit last year was Io Desunmu and just basically his will.
Well, yeah, and they're going to need a closer now because Io was their closer and they hadn't had one of those guys for years. And now Io was there. Now they need another one. Kofi could potentially be that guy. What's interesting about Kofi, he's not a great free throw shooter, but it was so weird watching him down the stretch last year. When they would foul him late in games that were late and close, he was making free throws.
I know what you mean.
He was making the free throws when it counted. I mean, when it was when
and when
it
you
was
look
inside.
At his shot for a 7-footer, it's not terrible.
No, it's not.
You know, the release is fine. There's
the
good rotation. Yeah, just
problem is just, he's just got such long arms that when he falls through, I mean, if he falls through, the ball will go soaring.
That's always been the thing, like, with those big guys. Yeah. Like, it's not just as easy. Well, just practice, like with Shaq.
Yeah.
It's like, I always put it like this. Like, it essentially for him, it'd be like using a volleyball on probably a 7-foot rim.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the form has always been there. He looks good as a shooter, but obviously the results aren't there.
And one of the keys for Illinois this year is going to be growth from Andre Curbelo.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he was a highlight reel last year, for sure. But way too many turnovers,
right.
Too many bad decisions in critical moments. Not uncommon for a freshman. At all. But you certainly want to see that growth into his sophomore year to where you just can't get the ball away from
Don't
him.
Be as careless with the basketball. We also have to mention Georgie's not back, too. Remember, he was going pro overseas, I believe.
That's
going to be huge.
That really surprised me.
Yeah.
That he decided to forego his senior year to go pro in Europe. Anyway, he's getting paid.
Make money. Yeah.
But, you know, he also, in Champaign at least, he would have had marketability.
He's very popular.
Oh, my goodness.
Very
yes.
popular.
Oh,
yes. Great personality. And he was huge for them last year. You know, because when Kofi was in foul trouble, Georgie stepped up.
He was. That's exactly right. He was probably the most undervalued player on the team last year. Yeah, because he was just one of those glue guys who just did his job.
Yeah.
Just did his role and did his job. And maybe
never
he said,
complained.
I don't want to do that anymore.
So that's right.
He went pro in Europe.
Never complained either.
Never complained one bit. That's exactly right. Of course, Frazier and Williams back for, I guess, what will be their fifth years. Might be Williams' sixth year because he had an injury in there.
Right, but he played. He was. I think his injury was senior year of high school.
So it'll be fifth year for both of them.
Right, yeah. So, yeah. Not Tracy Abrams. Tracy Abrams, I think, was there 6 years because he had two injuries.
Well, I think Robbie Hummel wound up being
yeah,
up there, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a couple of nasty knee injuries.
Case Keenum in football. I know he was at Houston for like 6 or 7 years. Yeah, but yeah, they're... It's going to be another exciting season for him.
Yeah, so the Fighting Illini basketball team looking good with the return of Kofi. Of course, the football season for high school and college is right around the corner. And, David, there was terrible news for the Illini with Bobby Rountree passing away at just 23. He's the young man who, fantastic football player, recruited by Lovie Smith, was a sophomore in 2018, won the Butkus Award, and then a spinal cord injury, jumping off of a boat in May of 2019, and he never walked again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
just tragic.
Sad news, and I think he passed away yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's hard. Yeah. I mean, you think spinal cord injuries in football, pretty good odds, but this was a non-football-related incident. Yeah.
Yeah, not that way. So Bobby passed away at the age of 23 yesterday, and puts everything in perspective, doesn't
it? Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, it's great. Kofi's coming back. Okay, that's just the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's on the floor, and we get so wrapped up in the wins and the losses and who scored what and who, you know, who did this. But at the end of the day,
it's just a game.
It's just a game being played by flesh and blood human beings.
Yep. No, you're right. It's sad. Yeah. Tragic.
It is. And it's just, you see this across sports, like, you know, I saw several English players were getting racist taunts because they didn't convert in the PKs of the Euro final, you know? It's a game.
Yeah.
It's a game, people.
Who's?
That's all.
European football or American soccer fans, not American fans, but soccer fans.
Well, I mean, we see it.
Across the seas.
No, but we see it in America all the time, too, when the sports, you know, pick the sports athlete. They mess up. All of a sudden, personal insults, racial insults, all sorts of insults hurled their way.
I know, but it's almost a different animal over there.
Oh, European soccer
is... You have people
is,
going on the field with knives.
Yeah, no,
and that, stuff.
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
100% right. Hey, thanks to Roger Crotteville for joining us this morning here on Sports Saturday to talk about Don DeBrino. Thanks to Denny Unberger as well. We'll bring you part two of that conversation next week here on Sports Saturday. Cardinal baseball for you tonight, 5:20 with the pregame, AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.